thank both of you first of all for joining again for arranging for me to be here today at very short notice and with no agenda. So I'm having to pick up quite a bit of this fairly fresh, I have to say, but don't worry, Brian, revenge is sweet, as they say.
It'll be here in no
But seriously, I do want to take the opportunity to thank all of our staff, particularly here at the Kenny. We have Naomi and Tina and Andrea. And I just want to say that some of the stuff I will be going through, Andrea, very kindly, done the research on it in relation to the history of the people that are celebrating here today. So I want to acknowledge that. So it's her work, not mine. But it is important, I think, that I do want to make sure that we go through it here today so that people understand the history of this hall and the people who lived and worked on behalf of the trade union movement for so many years. I want to thank, in particular, if I could, Rachel Ryan, Rachel, who manages these welcome centres. And for those of you who may not know, Thomas Driscoll has been off for quite a while due to illness. And both yourself and Paul here as well, which is today, have picked up that workload as well. So in addition to the work that they do, they're also having the business of opening these welcome centres around the country. So I want to pay a particular tribute to Rachel for her work and thank her very much for the work that she does in getting these centres up and running. The issue that I've been asked to speak on is effectively to rededicate the offices here. And I want to pay a particular welcome to Michael Patterson. I think he came in at the back. Michael is there. Is Michael with us yet? No? No? He hasn't met it. Anyway, Michael is due to be here. Hopefully he'll make it for the affair. Michael is a brother of James Patterson, who, as you will know, died about 6 weeks ago. And so on behalf of the National Executive Council, I just want to express our sincere sympathy to the family of Seamus and of course everybody who knew Seamus here in Kilkenny as well. It's also a great tribute to have our great friend, she's born from the old Atai Ranch, who was also a relative, I'm not sure what relative you are of the Boren family, but you're very welcome, Teresa. I knew Teresa very well as an admin assistant in Atai, as a lot of people here would have known as well. And probably one of the nicest people I've ever met. Absolutely. So you're very welcome here on behalf of the family, and it's great to meet you. So what I want to do is just to take you through the history, as I say, that Andrea has very helpfully put together for us. So the names Patterson and Bourne are synonymous with workers' rights and improving conditions of employment as leading members of the trade union movement. The success that they achieved benefited workers not just in Kilkenny, but all over the country. The Pattersons have an impressive family lineage in being involved in the trade union movement and representing the community of Kilkenny, dating back to 1890, when William Patterson was an active secretary of the Trades Council and Labour League in Kilkenny. That tradition was continued by James Patterson, who was the branch secretary of the Irish Transport and General Workers Union in Kilkenny. James Patterson followed in his father's footsteps and also became a branch secretary in the ITGWU, when he fought for and improved paying conditions for many workers in the area. George Bourne was a well-respected branch secretary of the ITGWU, Kilkenny branch. He too followed a family legacy and started with his father, Nixie Bourne, who commenced working in the mines at a young age at a very turbulent time in Ireland. The lockout of 1913 had just ended. The War of Independence was imminent and workers' employment was precarious, to say the least. The divisive War of Independence saw many workers, including Nixie, go to war on one side or the other and come home the opposing side. Nixie, along with other piracy, campaigned to organise the workers into a union, and although initially a member of the ITGWU, a new union was launched in December 1930, named the Irish Mines and Quarry Workers. And Nixie was the first chairman. However, this union was short-lived, and in 1935, the ITGWU branch was set up in Mooney Row. Sorry about that. There were many strikes at the mine, and it's said that the strike in 1949, which lasted 11 months, was the longest strike in Irish labour history. And so the newly established labour court travelled to Mooney Row to address the 300 men present. I wonder whether they do that today. During this strike in particular, the union side held strong and refused to end the strike until the concerns of all the grades and categories of the workers had been addressed. The priorities for negotiations included distance money for going deeper underground and improving the sliding scale rate, which was the method used to calculate the price of coal. Kilkenny coal was thought to be the best, as it burned for a long time, produced a lot of heat, and gave off little smoke. Sounds like the hurling teams. The government of the day would often set up wage freeze for the Deer Park mine, and not all other mines in Tipperary and the surrounding areas. Through continuous commitment, Deer Park became a model colliery with improved wages, improved ventilation, fuel scheme, a bat system, a co-op, and a welfare society that included sports facilities. In 1952, Nixie was elected to the National Executive Council of the Irish Transport and General Union, and in 1956, he was the first ever delegate to speak at the International Labour Organization Congress in Geneva. During this period of time, both Seamus Patterson and Nixie Bower worked closely together successfully to introduce the Mines Employees Act 1965. This piece of legislation improved workers' conditions of employment. It provided more security and financial assistance to the families of miners. This in turn benefited the wider local community, was in essence is the true nature of those great leaders who dedicated their lives to helping those in need and striving to improve the working conditions of those who would follow. I'd just like to add to that, and I want to thank again, thank you for putting those few words together for us. I think it's very important that we remember the history of the people who came before us. We wouldn't be here today, this office probably wouldn't be here today, if it wasn't for the people who built up the union over the years. I do want to acknowledge, by the way, we have some of our retired staff that's here. We have former Regional Secretary Christy McQuillan, former Regional Secretary John Dwan, and former branch Secretary, just I'm going to forget your name there.
Bill.
My mistake this time. But what I do want to just touch on is the connection that has taken place between people who have worked tirelessly on behalf of the union. And it's something that occurred to me when I was doing something similar up in the Navan office some time back, when we were celebrating the death of a trade union organiser in the First World War. And it's to do with the connection between people who work for the union tirelessly and where we are today and where we might be into the future. And the first connection that I recall, and I remember myself coming down here, in 1998, Phil, I think it was, we had Phil was after organising a group of workers in Galmoy.
1998, that's right.
1998. And I was a rookie official coming down here to Kilkenny at the time to help Phil out. And of course, Unite had the membership, sorry, they had the collective agreement with the company, but we had the membership. So we had the members, but they had the agreement. So we commenced a strike at the time, and very interesting. I was brought down because of my background. I worked at Tara Mines for 15 years, so I'm a miner by trade. That's where I came from. I was a shop steward and activist in it. So the connection with the mines is very important. We brought a few people down to us, met with the workers, and we eventually organised them all, got them their pay increases, and we organised SIPTI both in Galmoy and the Sheen Mine as well, ultimately. I remember talking to Phil sometime afterwards, and he said, you know, like organises like, because they could connect with us, because we were miners, we knew how to talk to them, and they understood the language that we were talking as well. But he also said that the Meath accent helped for some reason.
That's one thing he didn't say.